Well, we're off to the, not the dark side of the moon, the far side of the moon, after these messages.
Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
Where you're listening to The Space Show with Andrew and Joe. From ancient times, people have looked up at the moon and noticed that it always presents the same face to the Earth. We only ever see one hemisphere of the moon. The lunar far side is perpetually hidden from view. An explanation for this did not come until Isaac Newton's theory of gravitation explained that the moon is gravitationally locked. Then, in 1959, the Soviet Union launched Luna 3 into a looping orbit that took it behind the moon. Aboard was a camera that photographed the far side. That picture was radioed back to Moscow and released to the world. For the first time in history, we knew what the far side looked like. No green cheese factory. No selenite cities. Just mountains and craters. Lots of them. Because of the need to maintain communications with Mission Control on Earth, all landings on the moon have been on the lunar near side. Or, that is, until last Thursday. Last Thursday at 1:26 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time, China landed its Chang'e 4 probe on the back of the moon. On this evening's Space Show, we tell the story of that daring landing and give a potted history of lunar landings. Like a good gardener, let's start with the potting mix. Wind back to 1958. October and December, the United States launched Pioneers 1 and Pioneer 3. They launched it toward the moon, but did not expect to hit it. However, they failed to reach the required escape velocity of 11 kilometers per second and fell back to the Earth. Over to the Soviet Union. Luna 1 was launched in 1959, January the 2nd. It missed the moon and went into heliocentric orbit. They renamed it Mechta. Then, Soviet Union, 1959, September the 12th, launched Luna 2. And that impacted on the Pallas Putridanus region in 1959, September the 14th, followed 30 minutes later by the Lunar Third Stage rocket. Two hits in one go. Then the United States, Ranger 4, launched in 1962, April the 23rd, intended to photograph the moon. It was intended to crash into the near side of the moon, photographing it on the way in, but it crashed into the lunar far side, and that impact happened on April the 26th of 1962. Then Luna 9 from the Soviet Union was launched in 1966, January the 31st, made a soft landing on Oceanus Procellarum on 1966, February the 3rd, and transmitted panoramas and radiation measurements. Later that year, 1966, the United States launched Surveyor 1, and on June the 2nd it landed, soft landing north of Flamsteed Crater, southwest of Oceanus Procellarum, and it transmitted photographs back to Earth. India launched Chandrayaan-1 on 2008, October the 22nd. It was an orbiter, but it released an impactor in 2008, November the 14th, and that probe hit near the crater Shackleton, near the lunar south pole. Then China launched Chang'e 3 and U2, a rover, and they launched that on December the 1st of 2013, and on December the 14th it landed. The rover rode for two lunar days, but after the second lunar night it could not move, but it continued to operate until 2016, July the 31st. And that brings us up to the present with Chang'e 4, with U2-2, the rover. It was launched on December the 7th last year, and went into orbit on December the 12th. The orbit was lowered on December the 30th, and it landed on January the 3rd of this year at 2:26 Universal Time Coordinated. And that's 1:26 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. Because it's on the far side of the moon, it can't, of course, contact directly with the Earth, so there is a relay satellite called Quiqueo, and it's in a halo orbit around the Earth-Moon second Lagrangian point, some 449,000 kilometres from the Earth. The Moon, by way of comparison, is 400,000 kilometres from the Earth. Now, Kuiqueo was positioned at L2 on June the 14th of last year after a 24-day flight from China. From this position, Kuiqueo can simultaneously see both the Earth and the lunar far side. Chang'e 4 was originally built as a backup to Chang'e 3. It was modified in the light of the lessons learned from Chang'e 3. The lunar far side is geologically different from the lunar near side. Although it has been mapped from orbit, it has never been directly measured. One question is, why does the lunar near side have large seas of solidified basalt, whereas the far side is mostly highland? These highlands are heavily cratered, suggesting that they're much older than the lowlands. The South Pole Aiken Basin is a huge ancient impact crater on the lunar far side near the Moon's South Pole. It is 2,500 kilometres in diameter and 13 kilometres deep. The 186-kilometre diameter Von Karman crater is inside the basin. This crater is recognisable because of its shape, which is like a symbolic heart. Although the landing site is a relatively flat area, it is surrounded by high mountains. This posed a problem for the mission planners. After Chang'e 4 entered lunar orbit on December the 12th, the orbit was changed at least twice. On December the 30th, the orbit was lowered to a perilune, that's closest point, of 15 kilometres, and an apolune, or furthest point, of 100 kilometres. During December, engineers tested the communications links via Kuiqueo. They also tested Chang'e 4's cameras and ranging detectors. At 1:15 last Thursday afternoon, Australian Eastern Daylight Time, the Beijing Aerospace Control Center sent an order for Chang'e 4 to begin its descent as it passed through its 15-kilometer high perilune. In preparation, they had commanded the craft to safely fold its fragile solar panels. At this time, it was travelling at 1.7 kilometres per second horizontally. Rocket engine firing then slowed that velocity to almost zero, at which time the craft was now 6 kilometres above the surface. Hey, you say it stopped and it's only still 6 kilometres up. Yes. Well, 5 minutes into the powered descent, the landing camera was switched on. Still firing its engine to slow its descent, Chang'e 4 lowered itself vertically until it was 100 metres above the lunar surface. It then hovered, sought out an area clear of obstacles, and measured the slopes on the surface. After avoiding the obstacles, it selected a relatively flat area, then descended vertically and slowly. 2 metres above the ground, the lander engine was shut down and the craft fell onto the surface, settling onto its 4 landing legs. After landing, the solar panels and antennas on the probe were unfolded on instruction from the engineers in Beijing. These instructions were, of course, relayed to Chang'e 4 by the Kuiqueo satellite. One might ask, why was Chang'e 4 made to land nearly vertically from 6 kilometres up? After all, Chang'e 3 made a near-parabolic descent that saw it travelling nearly horizontal until just before touchdown. The Apollo lunar modules also flew nearly horizontally until near touchdown. The reason is that the Von Karman crater walls stand as high as 10 kilometres. The parabolic descent would have run the risk of colliding with one of these mountains. Chang'e 4 had to pass over the mountains before beginning its descent, then drop down into the crater before reaching the other side. Another reason for flying well above the mountains rather than skimming low over them was to avoid any gravitational influence they might have had on Chang'e 4's trajectory. Any deviation from the planned flight path could have upset the craft's autonomous navigation, risking a safe landing. In all, the descent took 11 minutes. Now, the Americans may well have had their 7 minutes of terror last November when InSight landed on Mars, but this was China's 11 minutes of terror. The first photo from the lander was taken 14 minutes after touchdown and showed the direction that U-2-2 would descend to the surface. Remember, U-2-2 is the rover. Not very far away from the lander is a well-formed impact crater tens of meters in diameter. Now, Chang'e 4 lander has a mass of 3,800 kilograms, and the U-2-2 rover has a 140-kilogram mass. The rover was carried to the moon on top of the lander. Not long after touchdown, ramps were extended, down which U-2 rolled to the surface. Aboard Chang'e 4 lander is a 3-kilogram tin containing potato and Arabidopsis seeds and silkworm eggs. These will, it is hoped, be sustained by water, a nutrient solution, and air. So a little biosystem test going on there. Now, a camera will see whether or not they survive. The lander carries instruments including two cameras. One of these photographed the terrain below the craft during the descent and just after landing. The rover also has a panoramic camera and other instruments. Astronomers use most parts of the electromagnetic spectrum to study the universe. One part of the spectrum that cannot be used for astronomy from the ground or from Earth orbit is the low-frequency radio band. This is because the Earth and surrounding space is polluted with both natural and man-made radio waves. The lunar far side should be unaffected by these earthly emanations. To this end, Chang'e 4 carries a low-frequency radio receiver. Using it, astronomers hope they will be able to test whether it will be possible to study the origins and evolution of stars and galaxies in a way that cannot be done from Earth. By the way, if you want to look up Chang'e 4's landing site on a map, here are the landing coordinates. East longitude, 177.6 degrees. South latitude, 45.5 degrees. The landing of Chang'e 4 was not shown live on television, unlike the landing of Chang'e 3 5 years ago. So far, only 7 images have been released. One is a descent image, another is a touchdown image showing the lander legs. Then there are 2 images of the wheels of U-2, a picture of the lunar terrain before the deployment of U-2, and 2 pictures of U-2 on the terrain. Now, given the delay in announcing the landing, the paucity of images, and the lack of news since the landing, it is not surprising that newspapers and television have given scant coverage to the event. Perhaps the best coverage came from the Chinese broadcaster CGTN. Here is how they reported the landing the day after on January the 4th.
After almost 7 hours of operation, the new rover U-2-2 has finally rolled down from the lander, leaving its first footprints on the far side of the moon.
Next, the rover is going to take a picture of the front side of the lander. And after this, the rover will go to its planned area and will start a series of scientific exploration projects in the one common crater.
The Jade Rabbit 2 will survey lunar terrain during the moon's daytime, which lasts until January the 12th. After that, a 14-day-long moon night is expected to come. Zhang Yuhua said the latest data show the current temperatures during the moon's daytime can reach as high as over 107 degrees Celsius, while at night, some experts estimate temperatures to drop to 180 degrees Celsius below freezing.
Well, during the moon's nighttime, the rover will enter a dormant state. It will store away its solar panels, just like sleeping and being covered with a quilt.
Experts say the U-22 faces more challenges than the U-2, as its landing area, the Aitken Basin, is the largest, deepest, and oldest crater in the solar system.
One of the major challenges for the rover is the natural environment on the far side of the moon. This is a first for mankind in terms of exploration of the far side of the moon. Rocks, craters, and a soft lunar soil are all concerns.
The Jade Rabbit 2 weighs around 140 kilograms, becoming the lightest lunar rover in history. The outlook for the Chang'e 4 rover is similar with the previous model Jade Rabbit, but scientists say they have updated the materials and technologies so that it can withstand the extreme weather and challenging conditions on the moon. And in such a mountainous area of the dark side of the moon, the relay satellite Shuiqiao will continue to play a key role in communicating between the rover and the ground control on Earth.
In the future, the relay satellite will continue to provide long-term stable communication services, and we will carefully operate it to ensure that the Jade Rabbit 2 is in stable condition. We will also try to provide relay communication services for global lunar spacecrafts.
The U-2 or Jade Rabbit is a symbol of kindness, purity, and agility. Although the Jade Rabbit 2 is also designed to work for 3 months, scientists hope it can complete its exploration and have a more stable and long journey. Wu Lei, CGTN, Beijing.
Since January the 5th, neither CGTN nor the China National Space Administration has had anything to say about the progress of Chang'e 4 mission. So just keep monitoring CGTN or go to the China National Space Association sites, China National Space Administration's website, in order to find out the latest details.